A new set of statistics looks at how often psychiatric patients are placed in physical restraints. This is the first time such data has been publicly released. It's part of the federal government's attempt to shed more light on the quality of the nation's healthcare system. As NHPR's Todd Bookman reports, one New Hampshire facility shows extremely high reliance on these dangerous immobilization techniques.
Physical restraints can be anything from a wheelchair lap belt to nylon wrist cuffs that lash someone to a bed. The basic definition here is anything that restricts or immobilizes a patient's arms, legs, torso, or head.
This is a patient safety issue. It's a quality issue, and it's an issue of valuing and respecting patients' autonomy and independence.
Dr. William Kassler is chief medical officer for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services New England region. Its new report covers October 2012 through March 2013.
And we hope that these measures provide one indication of the quality of care delivered within inpatient psychiatric facilities.
The report shows a wide range of restraint use. Of the 1,500 institutions included, a third had zero incidents. Other facilities show high rates, including Frisbee Memorial Hospital in Rochester, which ranks fifth for most restraint use nationally over the reporting period. It self-reported that it restrained patients on its psychiatric ward at a rate of 88 hours for every 1,000 patient hours. The national average was 0.39. Frisbee's rate is 122 times greater than New Hampshire Hospital, a government-run facility that arguably handles the sickest patients in the state. Dr. Alexander Denesnera is associate medical director at New Hampshire Hospital. He says there are times when restraints can't be avoided. Patients are so out of control they pose a risk to themselves and others. But restraint isn't treatment, and it can be dangerous for people in distress.
That's frightening for the patient. It could be demeaning. And so we really try to use as many strategies as possible before we actually make that determination.
Denesnera says his facility has taken steps to lower its reliance on restraints, including limiting how long someone can be restricted to 1 hour and which personnel can make the order. It isn't clear what types of restraints are taking place inside Frisbee's psychiatric unit. It declined interview requests. In a statement, the hospital writes the data may be skewed because its facility only treats patients over age 65. Frisbee argues for this older population, you need to use restraints such as wraparound bed rails and waist harnesses because of the risk of falls. But the data collected by CMS breaks down restraint use by age, and Frisbee's rate is still 9 times higher than the next hospital in New Hampshire for patients in this age group. And even these seemingly safe types of restraint pose real risk. Dover-based geriatric psychiatrist Sandeep Sopdi says a wide body of academic research confirms they do little to prevent accidents.
If you restrain the patient, you are not necessarily cutting down the risk of injury. And the reason is because if the patient is in lap belt and they are trying to struggle with that, they can injure themselves. Their skin is frail. If the patient has bed rails up, they could have their arms stuck in there and you won't find it till tomorrow morning.
He recommends lower beds and alarms instead of side rails because a disoriented patient could try to climb over. Part of CMS's goal here is to encourage high users to adopt these alternative measures. Dr. Steve Bartels, a psychiatry professor at Dartmouth, says there are a variety of strategies to calm agitated patients.
Providing stimulation, providing light, moving people towards the nursing station where they may have more attendance and supervision and more stimulation. All of these things can decrease the types of behavioral disturbances that sometimes have been used as reasons that people are placed in restraints.
Bartel says some of these initiatives may cost more, but that just spending money alone won't change a hospital's outcome.
Staffing is a major issue. Education is another. Moving towards the culture change around having a restraint-free environment is something that needs to come from leadership at the top.
CMS cautions this is only the first year of data, and some facilities have made reporting mistakes. So patients and their families shouldn't jump to any conclusions. Frisbee, for its part, says it will continue reviewing the matter. For NHPR News, I'm Todd Bookman.